But before we start there, I want to get you with a question. This is going to be the question of our day, the question of the lifetime. A question that Pilate asked the crowd. What should I do with this one called Jesus? What should I do with this one called Jesus? Now, we know that this happened, and we know that Pilate was hoping that at the custom of the time was that they would release a prisoner, and he was hoping that they would release Jesus. He had tried to wash his hands of what was going on, and he was hoping that that would be what took place. But the religious leaders of that time said, crucify him, crucify him. And so, as we see that, I had thought about this and reading a few weeks ago, and that just kept coming through my mind. What should I do with this one called Jesus? And as I think about that, not only what did I do then, but what am I doing now? You know, we live in a world today to where we don't want any absolutes. We live in a world today to where we don't want to call black or white. We want gray. We live in a world today to where a lot of people want to walk with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You know, Ephesians said we're to imitate Christ. But the question is, why do we look so much like the world? See, Jesus came and he didn't look anything like the world. He was different. He came doing different than the religious people. He was different than them. Jesus was different in the way he acted. Jesus was different in what he done. He come to seek and to save those that were lost. So he went to the areas that needed that. He wasn't worried about being around sinners, and he wasn't worried about when the lepers, ones with leprosy, called him. He wasn't worried about whether they would contaminate him. Amen? He came to do a work in their life. You know, there's a new song out, and we've not got any, and I'm not complaining, but we've not got a good Southern gospel station anywhere around here. So I listen to 94.1 some when I'm not listening to 95.1. And there's a new song out, Let Me Tell You About My Jesus. And I just love that line. Let me tell you about my Jesus. So in order to have that Jesus, you have to come to a point in life that you look around and you say, what would I do with this one called Jesus? As I said, there's no absolutes, but you know in the Bible there is. We want gray areas everywhere. We want to sit back and sit on the sidelines, whether it be on whatever situation's going on. We want to sit political or whatever. We want to sit on the sidelines and we want to say, well, I don't want to have a view on that. But you know, God's not that way. In Matthew 5:37, he said, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. He goes on to tell us in Matthew 12:30, and to set this up, the religious leaders were always trying to pin Jesus down to something. He is saying that a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. And he's telling them that, and he tells them that they accuse him of casting out devils in the power of the devil. And he said, it can't be. A house divided cannot stand. He goes on in verse 30, and that's 23 to 29 of Matthew 12. In verse 30, he says, he who is not with me is against me. See, there's no middle ground. You can't say, well, Jesus, I'm not with you, but I'm right here, and I'm not for them. He says, no, if you're not with me, you're against me. And he says, if you're not gathering, you're scattering abroad. In other words, if you're not helping bring in the harvest, then you're destroying the harvest. And as we see that, we have to understand that Jesus was a black and white kind of person, a yes, no, no person. And that's what our Word of God is. Our Word of God deals with things that way. But we don't want to do that because you know what? We might offend somebody. We might hurt somebody's feelings. You know, I love it because You look at Jesus dealing with the religious leaders, and you got to think about them from their perspective. This man come in, he changed their whole world. Up until then, sacrifices were how you were right with God. All of the things that they had said, and he had given them a law, but then they had added so many things to it. And they could pick and choose. Do we do that in church today? Yeah, it's like a buffet, isn't it? We pick and choose what we want and what we like. Man, if we like it, man, we're all for it. If we don't, we'd rather preach or not to preach on it. And as we see that, we have to understand that we have to come to a time that we know what we did with Jesus. Now, my prayer for you today is that you've come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that none are righteous, no, not one. He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. And he tells us that whoever calls on that name can get it. It says that he came to seek and to save those that were lost. It's not his will that any should perish. So if you hadn't got a relationship with Jesus, it's not his fault. It's a decision you made. And as we look at that, I want you to look at Matthew 25. We're almost through point one. The kingdom of God is likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and no oil. But they that were wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. When the bridegroom tarrieth, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight the cry came out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they were gone to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready entered in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, let us in. Verse 12. But he answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. You know, we see a picture of the lamp here, and the picture of the lamp is a reference of our lives in being prepared. They all had lamps, didn't they? So they were all prepared. Even the 5 foolish were prepared somewhat. But they all didn't have oil in it. Without oil, you can't shine your light, right? Well, the Bible says in Matthew, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, we're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're supposed to be a peculiar people is what the Bible says. Not strange, but peculiar. We're supposed to be a little different. When people see us, they're supposed to be able to look. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We're to be different. We're to be set aside, you know, to be sanctified. And I know Pastor Monty's taught this. I was here. Sanctified means to be set apart. Amen. Not set aside, but set apart. And they had 5 that were foolish, 5 that were unprepared. You know, my question to you today, are you unprepared for the return of Christ? Do you know in whom you have believed? And have you come to the point that it's not an emotional decision, it's not a decision that you made, but have you come to the point that you gave your heart to Jesus and you wanted to make him not only Savior? See, we all want fire insurance, but how many of us want him to be Lord and Savior? That's what he wants for us. He wants us to grow. He wants to be Lord and Savior. And so we've got to get to that point. And if we do that, then what we got to understand is so many times when we do that, and there's multiple people that's done it, and when you talk to them, they'll share their testimony with you. And they'll tell you how they got saved, and that's awesome. That is awesome to be able to share your testimony. But our problem is, as a Christian, we shouldn't have a testimony that we just share once. We ought to have a growing testimony. We ought to be able to tell not only what he done when he saved us, but what did he do yesterday? Amen? We ought to be able to tell what he's doing in our life today. See, the second question we have to answer if we receive Christ as Lord and Savior is, what am I doing with Jesus now? What am I doing with Jesus now? Am I serving him? Is he Lord of my life? Am I letting him lead and guide me? You know, so many times we don't do that, and we call it being complacent. We're complacent. I'm just kind of coasting. Man, I served in the nursery for 10 years. I'm just out here just enjoying the Lord. Man, I've done this. I've done that. And God says that he wants us to work, amen, to be prepared, to labor, to be ready. That's what we are. We're his servants. You know, in John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. And those that bear fruit, he purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. He says that when we're bearing fruit, he's not happy with just where we're at. God wants spiritual growth. Amen? God wants us to grow. There's a old study that was out almost 30 years ago, probably now. It was Experiencing God. And he said that God, in that deal, God wants an intimate love relationship with you. God wants you to be able to sit down and talk to him like you would your spouse or the one you love the dearest here on earth. To share those needs and those wants and to feel that comfortable about it and to have that intimacy that we have of knowing that God's there and we're able to go to him. I love that, though. It tells us that he says that they bring forth fruit, then he purges it. In other words, he squeezes it a little bit. Anybody ever been squeezed by God a little bit? Yeah. Sometimes we don't like what comes out, do we? Yeah. Get squeezed. He prunes us. He shapes us. He molds us into what he wants us to be. Why? Because he's the master. We're just the servant. It goes on in verse 4. It says, abide in me. Or verse 3. We almost met. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken. You're cleansed. You know how we grow as a Christian? Being in the Word of God. You know how we hear from God? Reading, praying, hearing preaching and teaching. But that's how we grow. And if we're not connected in that, there's not going to be growth. That's the reason we have people in churches all over this world that have been in churches 40, 50, 60 years, and they're still babes in Christ. It's because they've not been in the Word. I looked at a Barna study this week looking up how many times people are in the Bible in a week's time. And they didn't even address that. What they addressed was that in the last 10 years, we've went up and down a little bit between 54 and 49% as people that were in the Word. And you know what they called that being? Somebody who prayed or read the Bible 4 times a year outside of church. Man, that's a shame. Man, if you only ate 4 times a year outside of church, we'd be some thin people, wouldn't we? Be some dead people. How are we going to grow? How are we going to? We've got to be in God's Word. He goes on in verse 4 and he says, abide in me. That's being in his Word. And I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. He gives us the order there. He says, a branch cannot abide of it unless it's in the vine. It's got to be in. It's got to be connected. And to stay connected, you've got to stay hooked in. Amen. And as we see that, you have to study. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved." In Psalms 119, a workman worthy need not be ashamed. You know, he says in 119, I was going to it, "Thy word I have hidden my heart that I might not sin against God." And so as we see that, as we understand that we're to study to show thyself approved, and that we're to hide his word in our heart that we might not sin against him. So as we see that and as we understand, we've got to get to the point that what are we focusing on in this world? Now, I used to office up the road here for several years, and there was a gym there. And it always amazed me, the people that would come out at 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning in the tightest clothes you've ever seen and do exercise. And they would work out, and man, they're worried about how much body fat they have, and they're worried about all those things. And I always think, you know, yeah, I'm fat. And where's the line? You know, yeah, God wants us to take care of ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think we can get out of balance, amen? We can get so focused on one thing that we're not focused on the other. I always love this. Give this verse to a friend of mine the other day. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise for this life and the life to come." So when I look at God's word, God, are you more worried about whether I'm at the gym pumping iron or if I'm in the word soaking up the word? Amen. Well, I think God says, I'd rather for you be fat and be filled. Amen. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with the other, but I got a feeling we got a bunch of gyms full of people going to hell. Because it says straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and few will enter in by it, in Matthew. But it said broad is the way that leadeth destruction, and many will go in there. Why? Because it's easy. It's easy to go the way where there's nobody coming against you. Amen? Everybody is doing what you're doing. It's harder when you say, well, I can't go to that movie because of the language. I'm not going to sit in there and let them talk about my God. Amen? I'm not going to support. Or I can't support this because of this. See, you take a stand. As Christians, we're to do that. It's not popular because, remember, we want to stay in the middle. We want in the gray area. We don't want nobody mad at us. I might offend somebody. You know what I learned a long time ago? I'd much rather offend one of you than offend God. Amen? Because he's the one that saved me. He's the one that died for me. And he's the one in whom I honor. And I don't want to offend. And so as we see that, we have to look at what are we doing for Christ. And we got to get our focus together. So we understand that we've had salvation. Now we understand that we have to do some things. We can't just sit, sour, and soak. But we have to get busy and follow what is going on. And then that brings us to a third point. What are you going to do as a Christian for Christ? How many people have got great things? And they're not knocking them. We were in missions for years. We got great stories where God worked as we done mission work. Nothing wrong with that. But how many people have something where God's working now? Or have you got a plan of what you're going to do to serve God in the future? What are you going to do to serve God in the future? See, there's an old saying says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Well, I believe that's in our Christian walk. You have to daily plan to do this, 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 and this. And we have to get to the point that we make a plan to serve God. And we have to use the talents that we've been given. We have to use what God's entrusted to us. And so that brings us to the second parable in Matthew. And it's in verse 14. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2 talents, and to the other 1 talent, every man according to his ability." I think that's the key statement. Every man according to his ability. Do you know God will never ask you to do anything that he'll not equip you to do? Amen? Now, he might stretch you. He might put you in an uncomfortable situation to grow you. But God will never ask you to do anything that he won't equip you to do. And we know, if you know the rest of the story, that it says that the owner, the Lord left. And then he comes back to reckon his debt. And he goes to the one that has 5. And the one that has 5 had invested them, gained 5 more. And he looks at him and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many." He goes to the one that had 2. Same thing. He had doubled them. He had 4. He looks at him and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many." He goes to the last one. The last one said, "Lord, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were a man that got harvest where you didn't sow." And he said, "You got straw where you hadn't cut straw." And he said, "So I was scared." And he said, "What I done is went and buried your talent that you give me." And he said, "Here it is." And he said, the Lord looked at him and said, you slothful servant. The word slothful is translated, "you lazy servant." Man, I've read that a bunch this week thinking, have I been lazy with the talents God gave me? That's another hard question. Or am I serving him? Have I been lazy with them? We know, if you know the rest of the story, that the Lord ends up taking that 1 talent from him and giving it to the one that had 10. And he said, as he does this, that we... Let me get caught up here. He told him, he said, "You ought to just put my money in the bank." He said, "If you'd have put my money in the bank, it would have least drawn interest. The easiest thing you could have done was give it to the money exchangers, the 1 talent, let it draw interest, and there would have been some gain. But you've done nothing. But you've done nothing." You know, where are we at with Christ? First of all, have you accepted him as Lord and Savior? Most important question, there's no other question in the world that you'll ever answer that's more important than that one. What are you doing for Christ now? How's he working? And what I mean by that, not that you're doing, but how are you serving him? How are you serving him? And the last one is, what do you plan on doing? How do you want to grow in your service? I said that same book, Experiencing God, says that if you want to find where God's working, look around, see where he's working, and go get in the middle of it. But see, we'll stand over here, man, he's working over there. Wow, that's awesome. Boy, I wish he was working here. And we'll just stand here, or we'll slumber and sleep and not be prepared. And then when God does want to use us, we aren't prepared to be used. And so we got to get to the point that we are prepared for God to use us. In Timothy, he said that a vessel is to be set aside for the master's use without tarnish or without blemish. Set aside for the master's use. Are you set aside for the master's use? And see, we can plan, because we make plans. How many? You have retirement plans, you have vacation plans, you have plans to do this, plans to do that. We can make plans on how to serve God. And not only make plans, but follow through. And as we do that, we don't do it to glorify ourselves. John 15:8 says, Herein is our Father glorified, that we bear much fruit. Remember, when we started in John, he bore fruit, and then he was pruned, and then he bore more fruit, and then now he's bearing much fruit. See, God's not happy with us just staying in one area. God wants growth. And so as Christians, we need to figure out and pray, ask God, how do I grow, Lord? Do I spend more time in your word? Do I spend more time in prayer? Look and see. And maybe you can look at your life back and you see a time in your life when, wow, I was on fire for the Lord back then. Well, I promise you, God ain't went nowhere. Look at what you were doing back then and start doing it again. Amen. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us, is what God said. You can put your trust in God. Says he's a friend that stick closer than a brother. And why do we do this? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. So what God's asking us to do is not out of reason. God says, I sent my son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, I sent my son to save you. All you got to do is look at him. I love the verses before that. In the few verses before, they said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, that's when the snakes were biting him and they were dying. And Moses went to God and he made this serpent and put it on a pole and said, if you just look at that, you'll live. Well, man, I'd have been hugging that pole. Amen. I don't like snakes. But how many times do we take our eyes off the Savior? What happened to Peter when he got out of the boat? He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you. Jesus said, come on. Nobody else has ever walked on water but me, but come on. Said he got out of the boat and he started walking. Said he noticed that the wind was boisterous. And he started sinking. But what did he do? He cried out to Jesus. Amen. My prayer for you today as we get ready to close is first think about those three questions. First, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? If you don't leave here today without taking care of that. Because as that song says, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Second, look at what we're doing to serve Christ. How are we growing? And third, how do we want to plan to continue to grow? I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all you do. We thank you that you loved us so much, God, that you gave the greatest thing that you ever had and let it bleed and die for my sins, Lord. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. God, I thank you that if we're saved, it says that we're joint heirs with Jesus. And God, I pray if there's one here today and they don't know Jesus, that they, when the invitation comes, that they would come forth. God, I pray if there's others that maybe life has just got so busy for them, Lord, that they've just got sidetracked, Lord. Or maybe they've just been in that gray area, Lord, that they would come get it right with you, Lord. And Lord, I pray if they've not got a hope in growing spiritually, Lord, that they would come and want to get right and get a plan, Lord, to grow spiritually in your word. It's in the precious name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
For allowing us to be here, share the word.